was the daughter of one of his fans.
We'll call the meeting to order. Look for the roll call.
Marie DeAnda.
Here.
Jim DeMartini.
Here.
Mike Fisher.
Here.
Gordon Ford.
Here.
Darren Garrett.
Here.
Wes Hall.
Here.
Mike Lynch.
Here.
Ron Martin.
Here.
Terrence Willman.
Here.
Linda Stotts Burnett.
Here.
We're all here.
Any announcements? I'm going to read it right here. Any member of the public may speak on any item which is on the agenda. The board will only allow comments by members of the public on any item on the agenda during consideration of the item. When the item is called, please raise your hand and the chair will recognize you. The general public at the beginning of the regular session of public comment may address matters under the jurisdiction of the board but not on the agenda. However, any person wishing to make a presentation must submit their issue in written form with copies for any board members. Presentation will only be 3 minutes. We have one agenda item for later. Any public comment? Consent. Anybody want to withdraw anything on the consent calendar?
Move to approve the consent.
Second.
Okay. Consent calendar motion. And second, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? It passes. Item 6, we do have a public who wishes to speak on item 6. However, let's get the item addressed first, which is the standing committee. So we have a quick introduction by the committee, and then we'll go to the public. Darren.
Well, the Retiree Benefits Committee met. I think you all got the memo dated August 4th, recommendations outlining the committee's recommendations from myself. Actually, this was prepared by staff, so thank you very much for that. I think you've all pretty much had a chance to read this. Put it back out to the board. Anybody have any questions?
Okay, let's open it to the public first. Len Metcalf?
Yes, I'm Len Metcalf, retiree. I noticed that this is a method to change how we count the beans, and I think that one of the concerns is that this is a way of budgeting, basically. It's going to create a design that allows for, I'll call it, long-term errors to be presented on a short-term basis. And what I mean by that is, presently the county is owes the retirement system quite a bit of money. And that's amortized over a long span of time, 20 years, 30 years, whatever is required. And I'm not talking about the most recent change in determination. I'm talking about past years, many years ago. When we change how we count this, basically, if this was a regular household situation, you'd be saying you take your mortgage, and if your mortgage isn't paid off, you have no excess earnings. You have no leftover money for your budget. But your monthly expenditures, things you use every month, would be, you had leftover money after you paid your mortgage and your monthly expenses. You normally say, hey, I got some money left over, I can go on vacation or I can buy something extra. When you have this kind of bookkeeping system, you would have no excess money until you paid off your mortgage. So your income for the month would mean you have, and that's a way of looking at things, it's a very, very conservative way of looking at things. If you and your personal finances determine that I am not going to spend a nickel excess, I'm not going to buy any fancy clothes, I'm not going out to dinner, I'm not going to do any of those things until I pay off my mortgage. That's one way of living. And that's how this accounting is being established. I think when we take a look at it that way, we end up with this kind of a process whereby we say we have to balance all the books. Every time there's a shortfall created by whatever reason, it goes into a long-term payment, 20, 30-year mortgage. My concern is that you'll never, ever be able to have excess earnings. And I think that's the purpose of this. But on the other hand, I think that if you take a look at the other 1937 Act counties and the other agencies involved, nobody else uses this methodology. You compare yourselves to others when you create other policies, but this policy you're not. It hasn't been studied. If you study it, you'll find you will be the only one doing it this way. And I question why.
Okay, bring it back to the board for discussion.
I just have a question, County Councilman. Have you had a chance to review it? I believe when it first went out, that there was a comment in one of the documents that said you hadn't had a chance to look it over.
I actually have not looked it over at this point, but that's not really what's on the agenda. It's to create an ad hoc committee because it was very obvious that there were a lot of questions about the methodology of it, and that the investigation still needed to go on. So what it is to create an ad hoc committee to in fact look at it, address it, given that it has more than one of the committees involved.
That's correct.
Okay,
so this doesn't approve any method.
No, it's no methodology.
It only approves a discussion.
I was just a little confused because we got all this documentation, supporting documentation. Not that necessarily that we were going to make a decision today because there are multi-step process in this.
Right. No, there are some concerns that were expressed at the committee, as well as the fact that given that it is a new methodology, that the initial recommendation is to create an ad hoc committee to address it back to the board. When is it? End of December, beginning of January. So in that interim, that committee will meet along with council, along with
So really what we're looking at here is have the chair, that's me, form an ad hoc committee of the following members that are on the board there.
Right. And what was submitted was your retirement administrator's initial view of the world. And as he described it, this is like the rough drawing and definitely not the architectural rendering of what's going to be.
Tom, just to clarify, you made a comment in one of the documents that refers back to San Diego's plan, and maybe it wasn't very clear to me, but I may have missed something.
What page are you on?
I'm on the first page of the recommendation from Tom to the retiree benefits. Go down to the middle of the paragraph where it says the funded ratio could be changed. And that it does not use past practice of excess earnings based on the posting of the actuarially determined rate of interest. Could you maybe clarify a little bit more as to what that means?
Well, this initial draft policy basically specifies excess earnings are developed at certain funded status levels. 90% below, there's no excess earnings. 90.1% above, there's some excess earnings. This obviously does not take into consideration necessarily whether or not the actual assumed rate has been attained or not, whether over time or in the past 6 months or a year or whatever. That specific policy does not. San Diego's does address some of that in their policy statement. So there are some differences, and that's why this is just kind of an initial drawing. I mean, this is not a final letter by any shape. But board members have expressed interest about looking at somehow tying in excess earnings, retirement benefits with the funded status of the system versus just. We made 9% this year, we have some excess money, we have excess earnings of the other 65%, but that doesn't matter.
Okay. Well, going back to what Lynn's comments were, I mean, hasn't it been our practice to make things hold before we post earnings to the ad hoc benefits?
What we have done is we posted the interest to the credited all the interest to the vested accounts. But it, we did not look at, you know, 75% funded, 105% funded. We didn't look at the funded level necessarily. And then prior to the county doing its pension obligation bond in the mid-90s, 1995, the reason they did the pension obligation bond was about 75% funded. So Stansair has been, you know, less than 80, less than 100% funded, and still has had ad hoc benefits because the interest earned on contributions have all been posted. And then you have earnings above that, which is basically the legal requirements.
Well, say for example, 3 years, just to get the picture for me. 3 years ago, we were 96% funded.
96.
Anyways, and all of our vested programs were funded.
Correct.
So basically, that was a would be a true example of where we would allow for the posting of monies to the ad hoc committees. Correct. And that's what I need to understand.
Well, that would all come out of the ad hoc committee, the language, and you know, setting the levels, and what we decide will be a funding level to post to the ad hoc benefits, and also make a determination once we get out of this quagmire that we're in at some point, the issue of having a set criteria for paying ad hoc benefits, so we have a clear guidance that everyone can understand as to when we're going to pay ad hoc benefits.
Well, that's what I mean, though. If, again, using an example, 3 years ago when things are going well, if we had good returns, all of our vested piles of, you know, silos were funded. Everybody was 100% funded. We had the appropriate amount of reserves, et cetera. Then we credited our ad hoc silos. And so under what I read in here as your description, we would be, what was the term for number five, or four? Optimally funded. Under an optimally funded level, we would credit half of the actuarial value of assets split in half to be used for retiree ad hocs. One of the questions that I had was, do we specify which particular ad hoc benefit? Do we need to do that? If you want to make this plain English to explain exactly what it means, because I can remember one thing today and the next day I'll interpret it totally different. But anyways, I think it needs to be very, very plain speaking so there isn't a misrepresentation or misinterpretation later on.
I agree with you. And this is merely preliminary guidance language that the administrator has come up with.
And I totally support going forward. Don't get me wrong. But I think we need to also take into consideration the good times. Hopefully we'll see them again in my lifetime. But anyways, and I do appreciate all of the work that you're going into. I appreciate that you support the idea of maintaining the ad hoc benefits as an option in the future when things do get better. So, but these are things that I think we need to bring to this potential ad hoc committee now so that you can think about these things as you talk about it.
So the question is, at this point, is should we form an ad hoc committee to look at those issues? Right? That's what's really on the table.
One other thing, Mr. Chairman. In the meeting, we also made the request that staff would contact all of the 37 Act counties to see what they are doing, so it would give us something else to look at so we could make some comparisons and see.
Information's good.
Exactly.
I'm assuming we don't have to do anything with staff to do that.
Right, we can do the procedure.
And that's for the committee. If the board feels the committee is appropriate, and I'm asking before I just will create a committee, is this kind of the direction the board feels is okay? People
we're talking about it. I think we need to do something.
So I should form a committee,
and we get that was our recommendation that we form the committee.
Okay.
I would presume the motion would be these 5 steps. Then
it's a work group.
Well, the second question would be: is that time frame acceptable for everybody?
let's not rush it if we don't have to. I don't think the January date should be a dead date. The faster, the better. But sometimes when we move too fast, we make mistakes.
Take the recommendation with allowing the 21st. I move the committee's recommendations, even though they are made by Darren.
All right!
Do we get a second?
I'll second.
Okay. All favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Mr. Chair, I therefore form the committee.
Cool. I'm assuming it's the chairs of these three committees. So.
That's the committee was designated in here as the three people so designated in section one, step one. Mike, Darren, and Ron. Let's say you guys like committee. Does that take care of six? One to seven.
There you go. One to
seven. One to eight.
Okay. Stansera website overview. Wanted to bring up some of the technology we've gotten to date. The staff has put together. Looking at our website, seeing what's available for members and independent board members. As you know, the agendas and minutes are all posted on the website now. We have, for, particularly for members, we have webinars. So that members can, if they can't attend a pre-retirement seminar or a new employee orientation, they can actually view it online. Here's the pre-retirement seminar video.
I think you've done a great job on the website. Time, I think
it's been. Yeah, staff is the head of it.
It's thinking.
It makes government more transparent.
That's right.
We're going to have a czar.
Oh, yeah.
I volunteer.
We need about 30 of them.
Is it because of the projection or something?
Because you're showing
No, I think it's because it's such an old laptop.
Oh.
It's
new stuff you just passed through.
I apologize. Anyways, these items here, apparently this is not going to come up. Well, we do have the retirement estimator is probably the thing that is most looked at by members, and you can just go online, put in your classification, put in your dollar amount, put in your years of service, it will calculate what material and so on, and it will calculate your benefit immediately. So right then and there, people can get a good estimate. It is a very solid estimate, very close estimate. Retired members can look up. We only have one thing for health insurance now. It's called BMTI. Here's their website. These letters are on there. We get member feedback. There's a survey online. Member services include lots of forms and things. We have disability retirement processes is outlined on there so people can access that Saturday night if they need to. Frequently asked questions. Financials is everything from the actuary report to the CAFR. To actually complete holding every quarter you put on every security that Stansera is invested in for that as of that quarter, March 31st, June 30th, whatever. And so if members want to look at any of the securities that we're holding, fixed income, equity securities, they're all listed in that. And of course, contacting us, email addresses, phone numbers, and board members are in there just as far as biographical information. Bylaws and policies are located on the website. So if you want to look up investment policy page or whatever, it's all on the website. All the bylaws are on the website from administration committees to contributions to disability retirement, all told us there, as well as agendas and minutes. Which then brings us to the next item, is how board members would like to move forward, either using more technology or saying that the paper format of the agendas needs materials. So what we'd like to do is just kind of bring around the table and find out how board members would like to proceed. Basically, there are three basic that we look at right now as far as how board members want to handle the meeting materials. One is to continue to receive the paper. Two would be to have their own computer access, like this, a laptop sitting here and accessing the website meeting materials on here, or to just have a projection like this during the meeting. Which one of those three you prefer to have? And we can do all of that. We can have individual members with their PCs, or we can just have members access it through the projection and the paper. We don't have to all meet in the same room instead. Each individual member can have them what they would like. So we'd like to go back to members having it individually and be able to move forward.
Anybody want to volunteer?
I will.
Go.
As you know, over the last year and a half or so, I've been a pretty big proponent of switching as much as we can over to some kind of an electronic format, reduced paper, and so forth. We'll leave it to the next century. But anyways, I would prefer having a laptop in front of me, but also I think this could be helpful in terms of pointing to exactly where we're at. Having the laptop would allow individuals to make comments or notes to themselves and just save it for themselves on their own drive outside of the Stansera. So that's my preference. The only question I do have, though, is, and this is in more in general, is how far are you planning to archive some of the records? Because I know you can save them on a hard drive or something to save historical information. Have you thought of how far back you will keep information? How far back do you keep them now?
Well, we have board minutes back to day one. I mean, we intend on keeping those pretty much forever.
No, I was just saying the documentation is provided at a board meeting.
As long as it's on the view, it's there. So I don't know that we have to ever get rid of that in particular. This is probably the best place to put it at this point, just to be informed.
What's the legality of me calling in for a meeting one day in my pajamas or something? Does my vote count?
No.
Just thinking ahead.
You have to be dressed and we won't count you.
You've got to have a posted degree 72 hours from where you are.
Really?
Yeah. Because they can come to your house and you sit down and...
Never mind.
Bring my jammies over and join you. Well, I love the computer agendas, and you can download all the materials. Now, sometimes people will bring in stuff at the meeting, that isn't on the computer, so obviously we've got to keep that. But, as long as it goes to both my computer addresses, I'm okay with all the agenda stuff coming on the computer, and I can just download it. Now, unless there's like a huge, like the actuarial report, which is, this thick, that you probably should send people a copy of.
But at the meeting, would you rather have a laptop or projection, or both? Where you have your own laptop to look at it instead of the paper?
Oh, the meeting, I would just use the paper.
You download it yourself before you got here?
Yeah, at home.
You have a laptop?
No, I have a laptop.
No, but in front of you.
Yeah, but then we had 2.5 hours trying to get all the work.
Well, part of it, of course, is cost also, but I'm sure we can get a hold of some faster processing. Laptops.
That's
much more
sensitive. No, I wasn't talking about the tech, the machines being broken. I'm talking about us being broken.
Oh.
Being able to run it all,
Okay, I'm on 7. Well, you're on 8.
Well, she's on 10. The broken hand won't last that long. arm.
Do we have wireless in here already?
Yes.
So as long as laptops all were wireless and set up, I mean, once you're in the building, or once you're in the room and you turn it on, you're gonna have access to the data. How fast is the wireless?
It's pretty good. It's the wireless connection is not the limitation. Both these laptops that we have are several years old. The newer stuff is much faster.
Perhaps it's something we should try and see if we're more comfortable if we actually try it.
I'd be happy to bring my personal laptop.
Yeah, I can bring mine too.
I'm happy with what we have here today.
Projection?
Yes.
I'd like to see it emailed so we have it ahead of time.
Mm-hmm. Either paper or email, yeah.
With the exception of the confidential information, are we encrypting that? Can we encrypt it? So we're not sending personal people.
We don't send stuff via email anymore. We just send you the link, and then.
Well, then okay. So, but is that that's
a separate cell?
Everything. It's all on the internet, and the stuff that we put out on the internet is not confidential.
Okay. So we just get the notification when it was ready.
So confidential still have to come.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That's
so confidential will still come by paper.
Okay.
Probably, I think that's probably the easiest way to handle that is continuing confidential.
Okay. And I'm happy with this. I don't think we should.
That would be fine with me also. Yeah. So we'd get an email basically just reminding us that
it's
we
ready.
Have a
Google website. Okay.
Well, I'm one of the old dogs. I'd kind of like to have the paper ahead of time. I don't want to be responsible for that.
You want to break it?
You know, the way we're getting it now.
Yeah. Pardon?
The way we're getting it now is what you want.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't like computers, and I don't use the internet at all, and I just really would rather get it the way I'm getting it.
But from what I heard, you had a choice.
Right. You'll continue to do paper, you know, if you want to use the projection or the laptop.
And these come up on Friday afternoon, right?
Right, Friday by about 3. It's on
so you could send us the paper version and then send the electronic. People could see both and decide if they want to discontinue the paper and use the electronic. Right. Or if they want to continue to see the paper.
Even cutting down if it's only two people with paper, boy, that makes a bit of difference.
What about all the stuff you add into the mailings?
All the junk mail?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fine with me.
I don't know. Draw it right here.
It doesn't even have to be
the Statsera website. So it doesn't have to, we don't have to get an email. We know when the notes and everything are out there. So we could actually go in any time after, say, Friday, for example, and they should be there.
But once it's all up, she ought to send out one to all.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd still like an email to remind me, because or else
we have other
I'll forget.
Really, what do you do about, in this case, this really is the majority of the stuff you sent me anyway. This still has to be sent, I assume.
That you can pick it up at the meetings.
I would be happy picking it up at the meetings.
That postage save would be great.
Yeah.
We're going to have mail once a day. We have no courier twice a day. We're going to have to maybe start mailing stuff from the post office ourselves because the courier won't come out. So, you know, times are hard.
I have one more question.
Friday here in the
one more question. What about when our the money managers and stuff or others come and do presentations and we get these thick booklets of information? Can we ask them to send us the information electronically if we prefer?
We have been.
Okay.
Since we started this.
Because I'd rather have it that way than in, again, these big stacks of mail.
You can send it to a special place.
Okay. We can link it to the agenda. So
yes, and it has.
Okay.
Yeah, it's all linked to the agenda.
Okay. That part I haven't really noticed. Okay.
So that could be kind of a member's choice for a while.
Could I have Kelly come over to my house and read it to me?
I think that'd be great.
She can do an audio book.
Well,
that's
good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well,
one other item on that, Mr. Chairman, the I think we decided to record these meetings to the end of the year.
Right.
And at some point we have to revisit that issue. But and my position would be that we keep recording them, but I don't know if that's part
future
of this
agenda.
If that's part of this agenda item or not.
The other thing I wanted, and actually council came up with this, was to develop or potentially have what is called a public email address. All county employees have a public email address. My email address is a public email address because I work for a public entity. However, my clients are not usually considered business or private email addresses. And if you want individuals to send you things as a retirement board member, it might be better to have a public email address set up.
Could we do that? We just set up another email.
You mean if I send something to Ron, I can get in trouble?
It depends. Yeah, if it was you, Gordon, yeah, you would be in trouble.
and I think in kind of
sorry, Ron.
Releasing the information, you know, is it public or is it private information? That's part of the issue, you know, if we have a copy of the email and it's got somebody's email address and it's not a public email address, do you redact it?
You're saying that we put on a homepage something like if you want to email to Darren, email at darren@stansara.org,
right,
and he'll be able to get into it from his home computer.
Right.
That's what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever you want.
One more email.
You can put it out there. I'll never check mine. I can tell you already that.
Don't send me an email. I've never checked them.
Parents, we could have yours. If we put it under a Stansara, we could have it forwarded to your regular Stansara.
There we go. That's what I need.
That's a good idea. You don't want to get any more emails. Huh?
Public email.
I'm trying to get less emails.
We could have it forwarded to Tom.
There we go.
Laptop or projection?
Would like for you to come to my house.
I like that one.
I came back.
I leave it the way it is.
285 emails.
Can change in a week.
Set it up so it forwards to some other email that so you don't have to always sign into your Stansara thing. Only for that, it could forward any place you wanted.
So we're saying anybody who's currently got private email, if you want a public, can contact you and kind of create it and you can forward it to the right.
I can set it, contact me and we'll set it up.
And I'll just take my chance and send it to Ron anyway.
I would consider though all of our, you know, I would consider my email address at work. For this, a private email, I don't want anybody except, you know, I don't want other people sending me emails at my work email.
That's
for
all the time. Why shouldn't you?
It's still discoverable, and
well, yeah, it's probably discoverable.
A private
but
email address is that if they were to ask for all emails, then becomes to what level and to what degree can they ask for that email to the emails that you receive? So that in the sense of a public, your work address is a public email address already. So whatever you get on it is already disclosable and recoverable, unless it's under an entire certain.
Well, that's fine. But what I was saying is I wouldn't want the public for retirement board business sending me emails at my
office.
At my office email address. I mean, that's.
But you can't stop.
Mm-hmm. Well, but I'm not going to ever give it out to anybody, so I don't anticipate ever getting.
It's your last name, first initial, and after that you're dead.
Well, at this point, I've never received an email from anybody outside. I mean, the retirement board.
Well, they can subpoena our private computer email address.
Yes. What I'm saying is that it isn't really clear at this point And therefore, the concern is that if you have a public email address for which you're receiving all Stan County, Stan Sarah information, then you would not have to disclose your private email address or anything that's on there that you may not want disclosed. Because you say anything I'm receiving is on my public email address at stansarah.org.
Well, if that's the case, we should all have one.
Yeah.
And then have it all forwarded onto our
private.
Yeah.
Our
it's how you want to
set
it up.
Yeah. We all have email addresses that we're using now.
So what happens if
we can just link those?
If I send one to Darren on a different issue, does that turn up in the subpoena?
No.
Well, yes or no?
No.
What do you mean on a different
issue? It could. I say, Darren, I think the fact that your, you know, police chief tactics are overboard. and I send it to him, and if they subpoena all my communications to Darren on this, would that come up in that?
Look at the guy in that.
Only in the, if in the discovery.
I know that. That's what I'm looking at.
Like only if they have access to your personal email. If we use the, we use Stan Sarah, we're not going to. They won't have access to it.
Even though,
should
even though you're linking.
And so,
what email? What email system do we currently use for Stan Sarah?
GroupWise.
GroupWise. So what's the licensing cost if we extended that out to the board members?
Just the seat licenses.
Yeah, I'm not sure. It's pretty minimal.
Minimal.
Yeah.
I would probably, my recommendation would be for those individuals that are appointed and not county employees, just set up the accounts through the GroupWise system at Stan Sarah. Is it similar? I mean, they could then log in through the county system.
They can actually log in online,
Yes.
Log in
and then access it from the web.
Because retirees would have to be on that too, because we
right.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So that would be.
You added the login on the website.
Yes.
On the Stancer website. There's
a link.
I can show you how you could log in.
Yeah, that would be my recommendation. I would keep your private emails completely out of the system altogether.
Well, right now they're in the system, because that's how we're
right.
But right now, it's in other words, it isn't. We don't disclose it as just like a home address. However, given all the
scroll down
the way the laws, it's right now it's a question.
Right there,
group
it's easy to get into.
Even we've already got a county one. We can set you up with one that says, you know, Dan and dot or at stansarah.org. I think the question would be if you'd want a separate mailbox, so you only had Stan Sarah email going into one, and you had all your other work stuff going into another one. I don't know how comfortable you would be with having everything all blended together in a mailbox.
They can use my
required
account through the county. I don't care.
Okay.
The filtering system is so high on that thing, the chances of them getting through are limited anyway. So that's
not okay. Set up filters for everyone.
Is that right? Yeah. I want mine sent to Jim.
That's actually good. The Senate to be Martini.
Yeah. And he opened it 5 years later.
Are you okay having just one group by his
account? No, I've never sent an email to anybody.
I would probably prefer to have
make you bad guy.
Well, I'd probably prefer to have two. I mean, if at any point people want to send me emails directly that are, you know, related to this board, I'd rather not get them at my. For one thing, I have a bad habit at my work at my work email. I delete everything that's not someone from the office sending me an email about a problem, because I get so much, you know, other types of emails. I have a tendency just to delete most of them, and I've even deleted a number of times Kelly's emails and Tom's emails without even. Well, I'm going through. They're not. It's not someone a name I you know quickly. It's not someone in the office, so I delete them. And so, you know, if I had one, it would probably be a good idea.
we could set that up. You just have to, like, intentionally log off the one and log on the other.
Yeah.
We could forward it to where you'd always have it in the other one. We, you and I could talk about
you don't want anything.
Don't send one.
Don't
want email. I don't
want
we'll
just use your regular county one.
And
you want just your regular county one?
Delete all.
Yes.
And that's not a problem, so people can find me on Google twice anyways.
My home email, I don't have to get into it. Once in a while. I like four emails in there. That's how often I use that. I don't give anybody my home email address.
How do you go get about 100 a day?
Well, that's my wife. My wife just, in fact, if I want half the time, I'm going to give someone an email address. I give them hers. She gets all my text.
Okay. Actual report on retirees' responses to notice of suspension of the local health benefits subsidy. And we have Michelle Silver, benefits manager.
We mailed out 2,758 advice checks with notices, announcements printed at the top, as well as a letter from the administrator and the revocable health benefit subsidy. You should have gotten a copy, I think, in July. This announcement will appear on the checks and advices every month through December, and in January we'll notify them of why they have less money in their check. Just a reminder, and we will add that it is not a vested benefit. As of August 10th, staff answered 94 inquiries regarding the suspension of the revocable health benefits subsidy. It seems that since the word health is in the title, many of the retirees calling thought that they were losing their health insurance coverage. Some other questions posed to staff were, why are you taking away my health insurance? What does this mean? How much will my check be? What is a green advice notice? What is a revocable health benefits subsidy? What will I do for insurance? Can I opt out of my insurance? How can you do this to me? Why don't you put us on a mountain and wait for us to die? I don't participate in health insurance. Why are you taking it away from me? How much subsidy do I get? What will my net be? And will we continue to deduct their health insurance premium? And will they be paying for all their premium? And that's just a few of the common questions that were asked.
They want Obama's number?
We didn't get an email on someone about Obama's
number. They
might be willing to support a government.
We anticipate in January when the money is actually gone, we're going to get a lot of calls.
I want to say, I thought your notice was very well worded and direct and specific. And not, I mean, it was, I thought it was done very well. So, and it's a tough subject to deal with.
It is.
I also want to add that I was in the office on a couple of occasions. Staff was getting these phone calls, and when they were having their dialogue, the person on the other end of the phone, and clearly, as Michelle indicated, they did not understand. And staff took a great amount of time in explaining the details and explaining the process, probably more time than I would have taken. So I want to commend staff for their efforts and particularly their compassion and their patience in dealing with this. It's going to be going on for few more months, probably after the first of the year as well.
Especially after the first of the year.
Yeah.
I have a lady, she's about 86, and I have another one, 94, talked to me, and the one that's 86, she was a registered nurse at Scenic Hospital, and when they take away her allowance, because she retired probably about age 60, which is 26 years ago, she's going to have a little over $300 a month income. And she worked a long time for, as a registered nurse. That seems but, you know, and there's a lot of people just like her. It's going to be cut. She thought she had a good job and a good pension, but
could be, should do a story on both.
Mm-hmm. They should. That's who they should. And that the one that's the 94, she's one of them that thought that we were taking away her entire, that she could no longer have her medical insurance, period. Not only were they taking away the money to help her pay for it, but that she was no longer going to be able to get insurance. So hopefully I've verified that with her. But I'm going to meet with her personally because she wants to show me, and I'll go over it.
Anything else on the administrator? So we get 8, closed session. I'll need a motion.
I'll make a motion to move into closed session, Mr. Chairman.
Second. Moved in second. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Okay, we'll move to closed session.
Okay. Members like forum, I'm going to pass on the
report out of closed session.
Jeez, you won't let me get out of this one at all. Okay. I have to report out from closed session that we had a wonderful vote on our litigation. The vote was 6-3, no change from before. Do I have to say any more?
Can I identify? You want to read my notes?
No, he can identify.
No, Jim, Mike, and I voted against the motion. Is that good enough? It'll be in the newspaper tomorrow.
Well, I'm going to motion saying
well, they call?
Are you going
to
call?
And second, I am after denying CFR's public records request and maintain a previous decision. And then the roll call vote, the motion carried. 3 said no. 6 said yes. It'll sound a little better.
Right.
Okay.
B, what do I have?
There was an article in the paper today. I don't know how we should
think about
it. Okay.
Was it yesterday? That's right.
You got me through?
I missed this one.
We'll try and get with this member forum.
There's never an editorial on Wednesday.
Gordon.
Wednesday is always letters day.
Okay.
It's part of their cost cut.
So please take it away, Vice Chair.
I haven't read the paper yet, nothing for me, thank you.
You mean forum?
I'll pass.
Forum.
I'll pass.
Nothing.
Oh, come on, yeah. Can't be this quiet. Jim, anything?
Just one thing. It's not for an agenda item, but I just wonder if that projector, the noise that it makes, is affecting the quality of the recording. Maybe staff could take a look at that.
I did some testing. I didn't think it did. I tested before the meeting. It seemed okay. We'll find out.
I just wonder because I can hear the projector from where I am.
Yeah.
And I just
no, it's going to be my eating that's going to affect that. All you're going to hear is crunching.
We got two left.
The fan in there. So maybe it's not a problem, but somebody ought to listen for a few minutes.
Thank you, Jim. We needed a comment. Go for it.
That's it.
Pass, Mr. Chairman.
Pass.
Real quick, the public fund boards form in San Francisco, a lot of you go to it every December. If we register 3 people by August 21st, we get a 4th 1-3, and up to this point, up to August 21st, it's only $595. After August 21st, it goes to $1,000 per person. So we can save quite a bit. I had one person respond. So if we even got 2 more people, then we get 4th 1-3. So if anybody could let me know before August 21st.
Yeah, we could save money if you didn't go.
Sure. Yeah. You can get a lot out of this, so I gave you some stuff today about
it. I've been to it before.
Yeah.
Did you like it?
It is a good session.
It's very
Mike
good.
Mike Lynch has been to it.
No, I haven't been to it.
Okay.
No, he did.
He didn't go.
There was 1 year you went.
Did he?
You did go.
No, I didn't go. I only went to San Francisco once.
This one is last one, but 1 year Tom went for you.
Yeah, I didn't miss 1 year I missed. Is the date the
12th? It's actually a good one. For example, I'm not going to Sackers this year, this fall, so that one actually is a good replacement. Get very similar information, very specific.
The dates are
the 12th or the 15th.
December.
Yeah, it should be right on there.
Saturday, Sunday, and then.
It's usually Saturday through Tuesday.
Yeah. Just in time to do a Christmas shopping for us, Jim.
Yeah, we'll expect something from Bush Brothers.
That'll do.
Hey, look, it's Sarah Palin's talking.
Tom.
Update on BGI investment. $35 million was transferred. We had set it aside from the Dodge and Fox. raising there's $55 million or $35 million set aside in a special BGI account at Bank of New York. And on July 31st, that money was transferred to BGI. They initially put it in a money market fund because when they did the trades for the index fund, they did the trades on Friday, but then they wouldn't settle until the 5th. So then the money was actually in the index fund on August 5th. Yeah. We're done, we're signed, the money's been transferred. Good. And we're set to go.
Okay. Anything else? Anybody? Going, going, gone. We're done.